I want us to look tonight. I think, let's see, one, two, three, four, maybe four different thoughts tonight that I want to share with you from the Word of God. But what's jumped out at me is this phrase, I am God. And sometimes the Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. It's recorded in other places in the Bible besides Isaiah 45 and 46. But these are the two areas that I want to look at tonight. What I'm going to give you tonight probably will not be anything new, but I hope it'll be a blessing as we look into the Word of God. First of all, tonight I see a Savior where God said, I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. How many believes tonight there's no other Savior? That Jesus is the only Savior. Amen. I tell you, a lot of people are caught up in something that all religions point up, and or all steeples point up, and all religions point to God, but that's just not true, amen? The Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, points men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus, and there is none else. There's no other Savior tonight other than the Lord Jesus. If you look here tonight, what blesses my heart as I come on down into chapter number 46, about our Savior. You see, here in the Bible, Isaiah's telling about people that have idols, people that have gods that are made of wood and gods that are made of gold. But there's something here really that really blessed my heart as I looked at it. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 46, Baal bowed down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. And they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. How many are glad tonight that our Savior can deliver the burden? Praise God tonight. Look what he said in verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Watch this now. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I might ask you a question tonight. Is your Savior one that you carry, or is your Savior one that carries you? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad tonight that we're not carrying our Savior, but thank God he's carrying us. He said, I have made, and I will bear, and I will carry, and I will deliver you. I want to say with the writer here, with Isaiah, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Bible said in verse 5, to whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? Now let me ask you something tonight. Think about that for just a minute. If somebody asks you, well, who is your Savior like? How could you compare him to, hey, thank God there's only one, amen. There is none else, but really, you cannot describe tonight what it means, amen, to know him, what it means to know that he carries your burden, that he carries you, that he's not a dead, idle God, but he's a God that's alive, a God that cares, a God that, my friend, we can lean on as his people. The Bible said here, they lavish gold out of the bag in verse number 6. They weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear upon the shoulder, they carry him. You see it? Amen. Thank God our God carries us, but they're carrying their gods in idolatry. By the way, beloved, I want to say something tonight. There's a whole lot of isms in America that's carrying their God too. Amen. But I tell you, our God tonight's bigger than us, and we're not carrying him. He's carrying us tonight. Thank the Lord for the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. The Bible said they bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him up in his place. He standeth from his place. He shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him. Yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. He said here, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind. Oh, ye transgressors, you say, preacher, what's he saying in that verse? There's not many people that will even read, let alone preach, what I just now preached. He said, be men about it. Amen. There's only one God. You can't bring them all together and make it all mesh. Amen. You can't make creation and Darwinism mesh.
It won't mesh. In the beginning, God created, period. Amen. He reached down in the earth and made a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man is, my friend, a living soul because of that. I say tonight, thank God there is none else when it comes to the Savior. Let me give you a couple things tonight. Number one, there's none else when it comes to the Savior. But look up here, verse number 17 with me just a moment. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Watch this now. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. How many believes he did that? God himself that formed the earth. How many believes he did that? And I don't believe that was billions upon billions upon billions upon billions. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said there's a science that's a true science, but there's also a science that's science so-called. It's falsely so-called science. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe the Bible. I believe, beloved, listen, that the earth is not billions upon billions upon billions. I believe, listen, it's been a little over 6,000 years ago that God made this thing. Amen. And God, my friend, spoke it into existence. And the Bible said here, he established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You say, preacher, what are you looking at now? There's none else in salvation. There's none else when it comes to the Savior. There's none else when it comes to salvation. Watch this now. He said, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak. What's that next word? How many knows where righteousness comes from? The only way we can have any righteousness whatsoever is to have it imputed to us. And it is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God said, I declare things that are right. You know what? You must be born again. That's right. There is a heaven. That's right. There is a hell. That's right. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cover, amen, and forgive us of our sins. That's right. Amen. There's only one way, my friend, to heaven, and that's the cross of the Lord Jesus. That's right. Isaiah is saying, I'm going to declare the things that are right, the things that will bring righteousness in a man's life. And that, my friend, is salvation, and there is none else. Beloved friend, look at it with me now. Number three, I guess, in the list, if you're listing them. I don't have them listed in my Bible. I just wrote a few words in the margin of the Word of God. I read this, and it began to bless my heart. I thought I'd share it with you tonight. Look here with me, if you will, in verse number 6. The Bible said that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's none else when it comes to the Savior. There's none else when it comes to salvation. I'm going to read on and you'll understand. But there's none else when it comes to sanctification. Listen, only God can save. Listen to me, we ought to pray for people that are away from the Lord. But I tell you, the same God that woke them up and saved them is the same one that's going to have to wake them up and get them out of their sin. Amen? Are you listening to me? Get them back in fellowship. There are people probably in this room that have lived, my friend, away from God for a period of time in their life. But listen, you didn't wake up on your own. Thank God the blessed Holy Ghost came by where you were and worked sanctification in your life. Watch verse 7. He said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I believe it'd be good to, if you have a Scofield Bible, to drop down in the notes. That word there, evils, translated sorrow, wretchedness, adversity, affliction, calamities. But it's never translated sin. God did not create sin, but he allowed the evil as a result of man's sin. The curse came upon the ground. The curse came upon mankind. The curse came upon God's creation. Even the creation is groaning and travailing tonight, wanting to be delivered from this curse of sin. God allowed it because man rebelled and man sinned. But watch down, verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Watch verse 9. I'm telling you, it's God that works sanctification into our lives. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let me just say this tonight. I can say this as used to be a sinner. I can say it as being a child of God tonight. You're wasting your time striving with your maker. Amen. He'll win every time. Amen. The Bible said here, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Oh, beloved friend, you and I that are saved by the grace of God need to never forget we are the clay. But thank God we're on His wheel. And thank God He is the potter tonight. And He's working in our hearts and working in our lives. When we first found out about Brother Brian's sickness, I tell you, God used the story of the potter to be a blessing in my heart, to be a blessing in my life. I had to remember, Brother Wayne, that Brother Brian don't belong to me. And he's not on my wheel. Amen. But my Savior has him in his hands. And beloved, my Savior knows what he's doing. Even when I don't have a clue what he's doing, thank God the Savior knows what he's doing with you and with me and every one of his children. The Bible said here, woe unto him that saith to his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Let me say this tonight. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are the work of his hands. And beloved, he started a work in our lives, and he's going to keep on working till he finishes that work. And we're going to be just like Jesus said. Not a blessing. The word of God. Let me see if I can get it over there. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Nothing wrong with that text. I thank God for that text. But here's what the Bible said. The next verse. We're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Which God hath before ordained. That we should walk in them. Thank God tonight we're saved, but we're not home yet. He's still working on us, amen, in the process of sanctification. Let me give you this tonight, and I'm done. Let's look over in the first part of the chapter. You say, preacher, why'd you go in this order? Well, that's the way the Lord led, but I believe it makes sense. We started out with a Savior. We work from there to salvation. We work from there to sanctification. In the chapter, he's working on us. Let's look at the second coming in this chapter and how that it's pictured. It's a blessing to me how the Lord puts all this together. And Sister Mary, you tell Brother Larry, my throat's getting sore now. It's more than scratchy now. I tell you what, I'm going to take a ball back to him if he give me that mess. Amen. Amen. Watch this now. I want you to see in verse 28 of chapter 44, and we'll come on down. Thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. And shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Y'all stay with me a few minutes now. I'm going to tie this in. And then the Bible said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open their open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, which called thee by name. I am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect's, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Watch it close. I am the Lord, and there is none else. When it comes to the second coming, there's none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. You say, preacher, I didn't see the second coming anywhere in there. Well, you have to stay with me. Just let me explain. Then we're going to one more text. Beloved, listen. This is written 210 years before Cyrus comes on the scene. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? There's none else. There's only one that could tell you, glory to God, 210 years before something happens, that it's going to happen and it be accurate and it be right on time and the man's name be exactly what God said it would be and the man would accomplish exactly what God said. You say, preacher, why are you so excited? Because that same God that spoke of Cyrus spoke of a Savior that's coming in the air for you and for me. And beloved, we're going to go be with Him one day soon. Amen. He's coming. He's coming again. Watch this now. You say, preacher, He knows the future. That's what it looks like to me. Beloved, here, He's telling them about this guy. He's a Gentile. Only God. Listen, Cyrus is not even a Jew. God's going to use a Gentile to deliver the Jews. Brother Rose, many times God used Gentiles to chasten the Jews. But here, God is going to use a Gentile to deliver the Jews. And He's speaking, beloved, before it ever comes to pass. You say, preacher, I don't know why you're so excited. Let me just share it with you here, beloved. He's going to deliver them from the Babylonian captivity. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes, yes, we have liberty. Yes, we walk in liberty. But how many feels like sometimes, Brother John's talking about watching the news. How many feels like sometimes in this world we live, there's some captivity, and we just can't wait to get out from under the bondage, amen, my friend, to get out from under this world system, and just to get away and get alone with our Father in the throne of God, amen. Watch this now. Watch this. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Watch what the Bible said. Watch this now. Look at verse 10 of chapter 46, declaring the end from the beginning. There's none else that can do that. You see, God not only told us how it started, in the beginning, God. I read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 21, 22. He told us how it's going to end. Amen. Jesus is coming. Amen. I read in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 15. That my friend, that we're going to have victory. Amen. And listen, in the Lord Jesus. Watch this now. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. You see, beloved, listen. The world thinks that you and I have lost our marbles. When we talk about the fact that Jesus is coming, they think we've lost our marbles. When we talk about the fact that Jesus has come, they don't mind you talking about Jesus. They don't even mind you saying His name. Unless you're talking about the Son of God. Unless you're talking about the one, beloved, listen, that left heaven and came down here. And my friend was God incarnate. That became flesh. Hey, listen, God became a man. My friend, the Son of God become the Son of Man. That the sons of men might become the sons of God. When you start talking like that, they start backing up. Amen. Beloved, listen. God said He declared the end from the beginning. Ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, My counsel shall stand. Can I get an amen right there? What God said, beloved's not going to change for you. Not going to change for me. Not going to change for the sodomites in this world. Not going to change for the drunkards in this world. Not going to change, my friend, for the liberals in this world. What God said is still true today. It's settled, forever settled in heaven. He said, My counsel shall stand. I will do all My pleasure. Watch what He said here. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed My counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. Beloved friend, listen. Either what Jesus has spoken in the Word of God has already come to pass, or buckle your seatbelt, it will. Amen. You can mark it down. He's coming again. He said, I have purposed it. I will also do it. You remember over there in Acts chapter number 1? You men of Galilee, two men standing there in white apparel. You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, Brother John, he was saying to him, occupy till He comes. This same Jesus whom you've seen going to heaven shall so come again in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Amen. Watch this tonight. I purposed it. I'll do it. Hearken unto Me. Watch this now. Ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. Beloved friend, there's a warning here. God said, it's not time to harden your heart. You remember, beloved, in the Bible, that we're told that God wants us to have a tender heart. God doesn't want us to harden our heart. But God understood that in this world, There's people going to harden their heart. They're going to grit their teeth. Brother Johnny, you were singing in one of those songs a while ago. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Almighty God. Why? Because they would not believe that Jesus is coming again. Watch this now. He said, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I say hallelujah. He's coming. He will sit upon the throne of his father David. Thank God before that, he will call the church out of this world to meet him in the air. We'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Beloved, listen, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, that stirs us up tonight. Brother Gale said something a while ago. I said, Jesus is coming. He said, it can't be long. Amen. I believe God's people understand it can't be long. We have a little window right now. I believe that God has given America a little window, but it doesn't look like it's going well. A window to repent. A window to turn back. But it looks like to me, beloved, listen, I'm just going on what I see. It may not be as bad as I see. It may be worse than I see. God sees it exactly like it is. But it looks like the country's split right down the middle. That's what it looks like to me, Brother Grizzle. It looks like to me that there's half that don't want anything to do with this Bible, don't want anything to do with God. Now, in that other half, they're not all saved. But at least there's a reverence. At least there's patriotism. At least they believe that flag still means something. At least they believe in decency and moral decency. Amen. At least they believe the law means something. Beloved friend, we're in a dangerous time. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. When the courts go to deciding whether a law is right or not because of something somebody said, honey, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. And I tell you what I'm excited about. Glory. Glory, Brother Gale. That night he saved me. He got me out of the mess of my sin. And honey, it ain't going to be long. He's going to get me out of the mess this world's in. Amen. He's going to pick me right up out of that mess. And I'll be like Jesus. I'll be with Jesus. I'll be with God's people. And I tell you, I believe it because the Bible said it's so. And you can count on, you can trust the counsel of God's word. Amen.